Welcome to Heel to Heel Radio. I am your host, Elizabeth Gordon. Thank you for joining us today for another fantastic discussion where we've got women talking business. Today, I've got four fabulous guests for you. Each week on the Heel to Heel show, we bring together successful women that are doing interesting things in the work world to share their unique perspective on business. And today's show is going to be fantastic. I'd like to, first of all, start out by giving a shout out to our sponsor, Flourishing Business, the advisory firm for entrepreneurs, for sponsoring today's broadcast. Wells Fargo has graciously brought in four very top performing women within the banking community to have a great discussion about business with us today. So I've got Candy Moore, Lindsay Johnson, Natalie Blackenly, and Nicole White, all from Wells Fargo, and we're going to talk about the various aspects of the bank and what it's like being a professional woman working for Wells Fargo. So first up, Candy Moore is a Senior Vice President and Community Development Manager here in Atlanta, responsible for the company's community lending, service, and investment strategies, as well as the goals for Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, and Tennessee. Candy, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
So I want to find out how you got started in your career in the finance industry, or how you got started in your career and how you ended up here in the finance industry.
Sure. Thank you so much for asking. I started my banking career right out of college. I graduated from a women's college, Converse College in Spartanburg, South Carolina. And we had recruiters on campus, women executives who were currently working within our legacy company. And I went in for an on-site interview and started from there. So I've been with the bank since 1994. And my background is consumer sales. So it was nice to actually have a female graduate of my college to come on campus to recruit me to this job.
Excellent. And you've stayed within the same segment for most of the time?
My background has been financial sales management, which means I've managed branches or stores. So if you walked in to cash a check or to get a loan, you interacted with my team. Also, my background includes community development, which is what I do every day now, which I'm excited about. But also, I manage the marketing for 92,000 employees within our company. Helped to create our call center, which is now, was Wachovia Direct Access, now Wells Fargo. And so I've had a varied background from banking to finance and marketing and strategic projects for the company.
Nice. You've been able to touch a lot of functional areas and probably learn a lot along the way.
I sure did.
Next up, we've got Lindsay Johnson, who is a vice president and marketing manager in Atlanta, responsible for the community bank's advertising, marketing, and sponsorship efforts in the metro Atlanta region. Lindsay, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
Now, how did you get started in your career?
I took a more roundabout approach than Candy, actually. I actually have a writing degree and started out working for agencies as a copywriter.
Really?
Yes. So it just goes to show that sometimes your degree might follow you and sometimes it might not. But I did move from copywriting into account management and worked for several agencies, and ultimately came to the former Wachovia and their e-commerce website right around the time that Wachovia.com was really kicking off and online banking was all the rage. So that was about 10 or 12 years ago, and I've progressed through a couple different roles with the bank and am now here in Atlanta and focused on our marketing efforts here.
So it must have been interesting to see the impact of all the internet and online banking and all of that had on the industry.
It really was. You know, I can still remember our goal when I first started, and I think it was 98, 99, was to try to get 1 million online banking customers. And that number seems hysterical now as we talk about
right.
It. One in three people use online banking for the most part. So, but back then that was our big goal. So it was really interesting to watch and see how it's evolved.
Now, our next guest is Natalie Blakeney, who is a marketing vice president for Wells Fargo Mortgage. She is responsible for developing marketing strategies for national programs designed to help more Americans achieve the dream of sustainable home ownership. Natalie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Yes. And let's hear about your career path. How did you get started?
Well, basically, I've been in sales and marketing for 20 years. I graduated from Temple University in 91 and started running a retail store for The Gap. I then went from retail to the nonprofit sector, where I did some really, met some dynamic people, did great work there. And I transitioned into financial services, and I've been with Wells Fargo now 13 years as of July. And you're right, I developed different marketing strategies and advertising campaigns, all designed to help customers and Americans achieve the dream of homeownership.
Now, having worked in multiple sectors and had different experiences, do you find that you leverage a lot of the skills that you learned in retail and in nonprofit?
Totally.
Your role today?
Totally. One thing that you do learn in retail is fast pace. You know how to react quickly to the market and the demand. You get that down pat, and that really applies to financial services as well. And as for the nonprofit sector, really learning how to launch programs and do outreach, successful outreach to consumers, is something I really earned my chops in that one job, in that one position.
Right. What great experience. And finally, we've got Nicole White here, who is a vice president and wealth advisor for Wells Fargo's private bank. Nicole is responsible for coordinating a team to provide clients with comprehensive services, including private banking, risk management, investment management, insurance solutions, as well as philanthropic strategies, trust, and estate planning. Nicole, welcome.
Well, thank you for having me.
So what about you? How did you get started in your career?
Well, my career started at Florida A&M University about 19 to 20 years ago in economics. And I went from there into retail with economics. And at the end of the day, I realized the need for internship and practical experience to complement the academic world. So I decided to go back to graduate school, earn my MBA in finance and marketing from St. Louis University and classes at Washington University in St. Louis. And during that time, I internshiped with a well-known national brokerage firm on the financial services side. And I did that for 2 years until I graduated. So upon graduation, I worked for that firm in building a book of servicing clients from a private banking side, an institutional side, an investment side, and did that for about 8 years before joining the banking industry exclusively in wealth management in 2001. So I just celebrated my 10-year anniversary.
Congratulations.
So I've been, thank you very much. So servicing clients in our high net worth space, and specifically the women's segment and business owners and entrepreneurs, is a very, very strong passion of mine.
Well, and it sounds like you've always had an interest and a passion for finance and economics. I mean, starting out from when you first went to school, where do you think that interest in business and finance came from at such a young age?
Well, a competitive edge, I would say.
Nice. I like that.
You see, it's really been kind of a male-driven force, as we know, but I've seen an aggressive evolution, and that's something that I'm really proud to say today in our organization with Wells Fargo Wealth Management, the community bank, and also the private bank, which I serve but partner gladly with the community bank, is that there's a commitment to developing a force within our organization and also servicing the female segment. So it's a very strong passion of mine to make sure that we succeed, because we have a lot to bring to the table.
That's exciting. Well, and it's been exciting to see more and more women step up into executive roles and business ownership roles and make more money. You know, a lot of that has taken place just in the short history that we're looking at of the American economy. So it's wonderful to have women like you working in that sector, servicing that need. I'm curious about what it's like working for Wells Fargo. Now, obviously, you hear so much about the bank, and they've got such a fine reputation. You all have been on the inside. So let's start with Candy over here. Tell me a little bit about your experience as a woman working for Wells Fargo, especially being a professional woman.
Great question. As a female and working with other senior leaders, it's been a pretty smooth transition in terms of our leaders being approachable. You can look at annual report or the Wall Street or any other publications where we have senior women leaders speaking, it's okay to reach out to them. I have raised my hand several times to meet with other executives that I was familiar with their name and their work and their habits, and I simply wanted to introduce myself to them. And so never felt that I would not be acknowledged, but actually because you raised your hand, you were able to make the introduction and cultivate those relationships. And that's been like that day one with me at the company. And a lot of these individuals are now trusted mentors and advisors that are a part of my small inner circle that I will bounce off them ideas and recommendations before I would make even, you know, moves within the company or even personally how this would land upon my direction and what I'm doing. So just very supportive throughout.
That's wonderful, because in order to continue to progress through your career, we all know how important it is to have mentors and to be able mm-hmm. to reach out to people. Now, Lindsay, what about you? What has your experience been like as a professional woman?
I would say that my experience has been show it, don't say it. I mean, we have unbelievable role models here in our jobs on a day-in, day-out basis. My boss is a woman. Her boss is a woman. The head of the Eastern Community Bank is a female. The head of the community bank is a female. You know, as women, I think we always have such a burning desire to be able to do it all, whether you have a husband, a partner, children, a family, you know, whoever it is that you're taking care of in your life. It just feels like we have to put it all on our shoulders. And to have women mentors that are there to support you and kind of explain how they got through it and how they did it has been the biggest piece at working at Wells Fargo. I can look around any day and see some incredible women that I work with day in and day out and know I can go to them for help and for guidance, you know, as we need it, whether it's personally or in our careers. So it's a fantastic environment to work in.
Nice. That's really nice to hear, because as women in the workforce, you know, you can today have it all, but you can't, you know, do it all yourself. So seeing how other women exactly. are able to make it all happen is just puts you so far ahead of the field. Now, Natalie, what about you and your experience as a professional woman?
Well, over the course of the 13 years I've been with Wells Fargo, I've really benefited from a philosophy that we say people are the competitive advantage. And I've worked for managers, male and female, who have really invested in my professional and personal growth and development. And one of the things I think I enjoy as a female professional is being surrounded by so many talented, accessible women. I mean, they come, are the top leaders from the co-president of the line of business I report into is a woman. The head of the marketing group I report into is a woman. And I can pick up the phone, as Candy said, and call and say I have a question or shoot an email. And one of the things I've really enjoyed is that they get out in the community with us. So whether we're doing a sponsorship or a team building meeting, you will interact and engage. And I've got some great advice. I'm a big believer in informational interviews. So if there's something I want to learn or another career I'm ready to take on, I just pick up the phone and ask several talented women, including the ones in this room.
Lucky you. Lucky to be part of such a team. Now, Nicole, how about you with the private bank? How has your experience been as a professional woman with Wells Fargo?
Well, I'd have to say that I'll echo what my friends and colleagues have said here already in terms of the accessibility of our leadership today. And the open door policy and having a direct line to those folks. And for many years, I will tell you, throughout my financial services career with the brokerage firm and then to evolve into a broader perspective through wealth management, I really took on a lot of it myself and felt as though I needed to certainly prepare, but had a sense of having to do it on my own. And I no longer see that. In terms of, I would say, one, you can approach leadership with Wells Fargo. And I think one thing to really, really be conscious of when approaching leadership is to understand what your ask of them is and let them know you and know your talents and what you bring to the table. It's not necessarily their job to figure out what your ask is to do something about you. They have enough on their plate, as do we. So I think that's one key aspect. The other key aspect is, again, just really, really being prepared and knowing that we have to do it very, very well. But you can ask for help. Mentorship is extremely important in any way, shape, or form, and it's okay to ask for help. It doesn't show any sign of weakness or not being able to handle the capabilities. So it's almost a team approach in absolutely everything that I do now relative to my clients and my career.
That's very interesting to hear about the culture inside and the willingness of all the leadership to help and be of service to help people progress in their career. Now, Natalie, I hear that you're the one who is a blogger for one of the company's blogs that focuses on women and retirement. So tell us about that.
Well, I am the Every Woman blogger for a Wells Fargo website. And your listeners can find that website at wellsfargo.com/beyondtoday. And basically what I do is I share my stories around my pursuit of balance, work-life balance, financial security, and happiness in all its many forms, I like to joke.
Okay, so how do we do all of that?
Well, there's two things that I think that you can definitely do, and this is really the theme of most of my blogs. One of the things I think we can do just to be stronger professionals and better in our personal lives is to do two things. One is to tell our stories. The good, the bad, the ugly, it all helps. You can inspire someone. You can share great tips. And so a lot of what I use are personal stories from my real everyday life. And I use a little humor and a lot of honesty so that people know you're not alone. This work-life balance stuff, it's hard work. Creating your financial plan, right, Nicole, is hard work. And if you really just start with that, it helps inspire people to say, yeah, may not be easy, but it is possible. And the second thing I think people should do, and this has been really a good life lesson for me in my late 30s, early 40s, is play to your strengths. Create systems, whether it's your filing system, whether it's how you deliver your dinner every night to your family, whether it's how you do your business travel, play to your strengths. What works for you? And it's okay to just do what works for you. You don't have to be a cookie cutter, or as I have to remind myself, I can't force myself into what worked for my grandmother or my mother. I'm building my own trail here, and I'm a role model for two little girls now, and it's better when they see me, you know, playing to my strengths, reaching out to them and helping them to build their own. I think those are two things that you'll see in the themes of my blog, where I'll tell you real stories about hits, misses, and what we're doing about it to get better.
That's great. Well, the blog sounds like a lot of fun and some really good content. Have you gotten some great feedback and comments since you've been doing it?
I have. I told a story once around what it's like to be a 40-year-old newlywed, where I was pretty set in my ways. And we did one of our trips to Savannah, and we're only children and we're good at it. And we both were packing different cars. And we never talked about which car we're going to take because in our minds, it was ours. So there's a lot of blogs that I call The Art of Ours, and how I'm working with my husband to have this blended family with two beautiful little girls and better communication so that we know we stay on the same page. And people really got a kick out of that story and said, I'm going to use that somewhere.
Right. Yeah, that sounds like something a lot of people can relate to, certainly. Now, when the Wachovia and Wells Fargo merger was completed last fall here in Atlanta, Wells Fargo made quite a splash in the community. Candy, can you elaborate a little on what the company's commitment has been to the community with regard specifically to women?
Sure. And we had a great time during conversion last week. And we talk about work-life balance. There were several partners around the table that we personally talked about. Oh, my gosh, how are we going to do all of this with, you know, balancing the commitment? It was a lot. But we made it. But we are actively supporting tons of community programs, educational and nonprofit organizations, through grants and volunteer activities. And that's part of our commitment. For example, in 2010, we gave over $219 million to 19,000 nonprofits, which was up 9% over 2009. And of those contributions, 20 million went to more than 3,000 organizations that primarily support women and girls. And I can tell you, we believe in that support. For example, there are a couple of African-American organizations that we have supported within the city. For example, the Lynx Incorporated, which is a 501c3 group. There are 12,000 women nationwide, and I'm a member here within Atlanta. There are only 6 chapters, though. That's pretty large. But what we do, we embrace exposing kids to the arts and culture and educational opportunities and having a roadmap and having a financial plan, even at an early age. And so it's nice to see when we do our big fat check presentations also as a company that we do have team members that are on hand to deliver that, not only the check, but also the hours that go into the planning, commitment, and the exercise of showing up and being present from A to Z.
So the commitment that Wells Fargo has made to the community is quite substantial and growing, it sounds like. Why do you think the company has found that such an important place to invest in the community and in women and girls and in minorities and that kind of thing?
Sure. And it's, like I mentioned before, it's a great company to be with in terms of core values. The values of the company match the values that I have personally. And so when you think about reinvesting in the community where we live, we all live and work here.
Right. And that's building roots in this city.
Exactly. So building the roots, providing the opportunity. And it's nice to see, you know, just so many activities going on, and it matches up. It's who we are. It's what we deliver. It's our promise. So it's just a natural transition in how we do business, and we reflect the clientele that we support. Look at us today around the table.
Right, exactly. And it shows that, you know, there's such a long-term view, especially with such an established company. You realize you put those investments in and they're obviously going to reap benefits over the long term.
Yes.
Now, this show, our Heel to Heel show, features a lot of women in business, obviously, and many of those women are business owners. I've heard that Wells Fargo has some helpful resources out there for small business owners. Lindsay, can you talk a little bit about what Wells Fargo does for small business, especially diverse businesses, including those owned by women?
Yes, absolutely. How much time do you have? There's really two key things that I would hit on from a small business perspective. Wells Fargo is incredibly committed to helping small businesses, specifically those that are women-owned and all small businesses, especially in what are incredibly challenging economic times. And for all of us personally, I know it's challenging. And then when you add on to it owning a small business, it's even more challenging. So there's really two key things to mention here today. One is our small business owner portal. It is a website that is available, and it is wellsfargo.com/biz, B-I-Z.
B-I-Z, okay.
B-I-Z, yes. And it's an outstanding website that is specific to small business owners. And there is specific content there for small business owners who are women as well, because there are some additional challenges. There's a video series. There's a monthly newsletter. There's industry information that is available. Really just a huge amount of information, as well as information on our products and services. And I think the other key thing would be our team members. We have business specialists in our stores, in our branches, that are specifically focused on businesses that have $2 million in annual revenue or less, all the way down to entrepreneurs. And they are really the experts that are there to sit down with a small business owner and go through a true needs assessment of where they are. We have a great life cycle guide that we follow and our bankers follow that's out there, and we call it from seed to transition, and seed being really that seedling of an idea, of a concept that someone wants to start a business. We can help then. We can help all the way through the growth and maturity stage and all the way up into transitioning your business to a family member or positioning it to sell. So the team members in our stores are probably our best advantage in terms of helping our women small business owners that are out there.
Excellent. So women can go into a branch and talk to a business specialist and get all kinds of advice and
exactly.
resources.
Exactly. And for whatever stage, which I think is important. I think a lot of our small business owners hear, well, I have to be established, or I need to be, you know, this old, or I need to have been around this long. And certainly there's different positioning for if you're just starting out to if you're a mature company. But we can work with all of them, and we want to work with all of them. And so that's something that's important to us.
Right. Well, sure. Business is about growth and mm-hmm. change. So you have to address every level and stage and realize that things always do keep
exactly.
changing. And you always need more resources and information to go with those changes. Now, Nicole, I'd like for you to tell us about Wells Fargo's approach to wealth management for women.
Well, thanks for asking, because it is a passion of mine. And I'm proud to say that what we see when we build our teams around our clients today is that we can make that look any way the client would like it to look. And what I mean by that is we can have a diverse team that will address every aspect of a client's wealth management picture, from the investment side to the philanthropic side. And women are, through studies, proven to be very, very philanthropically inclined, more so than men. And so we do acknowledge that, and we definitely make that part of the process. But the team can look any way that you would like it to look in terms of gender, ethnicity, alternative background. And it doesn't compromise the level of advice, the experience, or the advice you're going to see. So I think that is one thing that we are definitely continuing to work on, but I'm very pleased at where I see our group going with that. Aside from that, many of our female team members have passion around the organization and the civic community experiences that they share, whether it's board membership or affiliation, and they bring that back to Wells Fargo, and it is well supported in terms of the dollars that we are placing strategically in the community and allowing us to, again, bridge our personal aspirations and interests with what we do day to day. And I think that's very important. Another thing that we do is the events and the time that we spend in the community. We do take time to tailor it to our female business owners as well as females in general. We have a lot of unmarried women, divorced, widowed, whatever situation that women find themselves in today, we want to make sure they're at the table. So when I'm rolling out to a client in terms of a strategic plan or a blueprint or a financial plan to get them from A to Z, whether they're inclined to do so or not, I insist that they're at the table, because I always say they don't need to know A through Z, but they need to at least know A, B, C in terms of who to call, where the documents are, what their interest is at hand, and so forth.
Absolutely. Well, especially since women tend to live longer than men, and with, you know, more alternative lifestyles and family arrangements, it's so important to know the P's and Q's around wealth management and all of the aspects of your own personal balance sheet that you need to be paying attention to, know what things are and make decisions.
Exactly.
Any advice you would give to women as they look at their personal wealth management strategy and ways that they can do a better job of that?
Absolutely. I would say the most important and key thing to do is to pull it all together. People tend to have buckets. And when they think of diversity, they think of having their insurance in one place, their banking in one place, their investments in another place, and it runs the gamut. But in other words, the right arm isn't in tune with the left arm.
That's so, not diversification
that
in the good way.
Right. That doesn't mean not putting all your eggs in one basket, but looking at the different facets of your financial life and pulling it all together, writing it down, creating a blueprint that's a living, breathing document that is modified, and you're looking at it annually, whether it's during tax time, which we're up on today, and you pull a copy of your credit bureau to just take a look at it, make that part of your routine. To make sure that nothing's fraudulent or something you're unaware of. You just make these things part of your disciplined routine around having a personal and financial business plan. It's a health check.
Right. And just as important as you would look at a regular health check, if not more so.
Exactly.
All right, ladies. what I want to get into next is kind of philosophy. I like to ask women about their philosophy around business. You've both, or you've all been through various aspects of the bank and seen businesses grow and clients grow in their personal wealth. What kind of philosophy or motto do you have about business? We'll start with Candy.
You know, I wish I had just one motto to share. And I don't. I honestly have to share with you is that I've been a small business owner myself during my career with the bank, and felt like it was a way to develop personal wealth. So even working 9 to 5, you know, I'm from a background of entrepreneurs and people who are willing to just invest so much personal capital into themselves to be successful. And so when I look at philosophy and in the seat of a banking exec, as well as a small business owner, I think you have to take no prisoners. I think you really have to invest in yourself. Everyone's talked about writing it down, making it real. I had plans back my freshman year in college that I knew I wanted to be a marketing exec at a bank. And most of my plan was to figure out how to make that happen. And so the commitment, the times where I did not go on spring break because I wanted an internship at a bank, I wanted to get in the door, or I wanted to work for my congressman, or I wanted to just do something to better myself. And so I've had that philosophy pretty much all my life. Very thankful for my parents, not saying there's not anything I could not do. And they provided every opportunity for the exposure. And so when I think about where I am today, and, you know, I picked up and relocated to Atlanta after 14 years in Charlotte. And,
wow.
And so that is a take no prisoner, starting over from scratch, reinventing yourself. And, you know, I raised my hand that I wanted to stay with the company. And so that's kind of my philosophy every day, is to make myself better, to make my clients and my friends around the table better, knowing that we can reach out and partner and work together. So just a ton of different philosophies there.
Yeah, a lot to learn from that. And
to stay true. Stay true to yourself.
That's important as well. Wow. How about you, Lindsay?
I would probably piggyback a little bit off of what Natalie said earlier, and I think it's know your strengths and know your weaknesses. You know, women are good at many, many things, but none of us are good at everything. And I think as you age and you get older and you start to recognize really where do those strengths lie, what am I good at? And I think we get more confident to say, I'm not as good as that. Who on my team can handle this? Or which one of my coworkers would be excellent at that? And really start to recognize that there are going to be things that are a perfect fit for you and your role, and there are going to be things that you want to get some help from. And I think the second piece would be networking and mentorship. You know, we forget about it so often. I know that I do. We're busy. We're working, you know, day in, day out. And those are the types of things that can slip away. But networking, especially with other women, to ensure that you are not just working in a bubble day in and day out, that you really are aware of what other people are doing in other industries, at other companies, and mentoring, you know, both accepting mentors as for you to develop and being mentored yourself. It's incredibly important. I think women really respond to it. And it's probably where I've learned the most in my day-to-day life is through those mentors. So a couple of mottos, if you will.
Yeah, I like it. All right. How about you, Natalie?
Well, recently I've had a mantra that goes, habits are formed, not born. I'm learning a lot of new things this year. And when I tell myself that, it reminds me to be patient, give myself time to learn a new habit, whether it's balancing that checkbook, checking out the 401k, calling and following up with my mentors. It's a habit and I'm building it. And I also want, you know, to really say, I think it's important to just allow yourself to change your plan or recalibrate. It's okay. Mm-hmm. What worked for us in our 20s when it comes to working out or fitness or family life balance, it's going to look very different 20 years ahead in your 40s. So again, habits are formed, not born. And I think if you can take advantage of some of the wonderful resources like what we shared with you today, we have whether it's with your favorite nonprofit or a company like Wells Fargo, there are tools, there's advice, there's all types of experts that are there to help you build the habit and really create that life plan that you really want to have that successful life.
That's good to know. All right. And Nicole, how about you for business mantra?
I would say it goes back to what I said before and simply having a blueprint. And that can look like something you write down on the size of a napkin, or it could be very detailed. But it is your personal life plan, which includes your business plan or your personal plan, however that looks to you. And make it a living, breathing document that you update. And I think communication of that plan, we have to be accountable for it in terms of what that looks like to you, whether it's mentorship, if you are needing more professional development or personal development, take it upon yourself to do so, because you will be left in a corner by yourself waiting for someone to usher you in, and that's just unrealistic. So the blueprint, keep it top of mind and in your back pocket.
Now, ladies, you've obviously all worked very hard and very smart and strategically to get where you are today. I want to know what motivates or inspires you. Why do you do what you do? Candy?
Well, once again, I'm blessed to be the community development manager for the Southeast, because every day, and Natalie can echo this as well, we make a difference in terms of nonprofits being able to survive and offer their programs and support. And you guys know we're in this mortgage dilemma right now. And a part of what we do is to work with organizations to keep people in their homes. And that's important to me in terms of the lending and the service and investment that we do. Right now, I get up knowing that my team and my partners are making a difference to provide options, that individuals know their options. And that really motivates me. I mean, I get paid to do what I love to do. And it's very rare that you have that chance to do both. And so that really motivates me, that we are talking to parishioners and talking to the mayor's office and other city council members who are raising their hands for help and support. And it's just a passion of what we do every day. And I can't do what I do without the partners sitting around the table. So we talk about teammates and friends and confidants and mentors. I see that in everyone around the table and what I do to make my team successful in the Southeast.
It's certainly more than just a job.
Yes, definitely.
It's really neat to see that you've been able to build a career around something that's so personally meaningful for
and
you.
And Nicole often jokes, like, you know, do you ever take a day off? Because what we do is 24/7. I mean, it's not a 9-to-5 job. And someone calls or they need your help, you figure out how to make that work with your team and with the support that you have.
Now, Lindsay, how about you? What motivates and inspires you to work so hard, and why do you do what you do every day?
Oh, I absolutely second what Candy said. The team members that I work with are very motivating. You know, I think there's always days when some of us love our jobs. Candy loves hers every day. Most days I love mine. Some days you have a hard day, but if you have the right team around you and people that inspire you and work hard with you, I think it's incredibly motivating. And secondly, I think just the ability to get to have the roles that we have, not to get on some type of soapbox, but it's a blessing to get to do these jobs. And, you know, it wasn't long ago that no women were doing it, or no women were VPs or SVPs at a bank. And, you know, I think it's a good memory to know that we're very lucky to get to do what we do. We're very lucky to work for a company that isn't as involved in the community as Wells Fargo is. It's pretty easy, even if you're having a day where you got 5,000 emails, to say, you know what, I'm still motivated to do what I want to do, and I'm still inspired. So,
yep, absolutely. Let's hear from Natalie Blakeney. How about you for inspiration, motivation?
Well, I'm really inspired by my ability to help people. I really enjoy it, sharing information. So whether I'm doing a marketing strategy for a consumer outreach program that's around home buyer education, or just recently I got approached by a woman in the marketing group in her 20s, she's new, and said, "Miss Natalie," and I wear that Miss, I've earned the Miss title, "Miss Natalie, can you help me? I want to navigate a couple things that I don't know where to start." And I just think I get such energy from that. How can I help other young women really understand their careers and navigate the waters and just really realize their full potential, both personally and professionally. I thoroughly enjoy that.
It's very satisfying when you're able to make that kind of difference in somebody's life. And Nicole White, how about you?
Well, I would tell you I have a passion around financial education, and that is the foundation for everything that I do for as long as I've done this and will continue to do so, whether that looks like going into the schools and educational systems and educating younger developing folks around the importance of financial education, or the established and adult in terms of making sure that they know what boxes to check, because unfortunately there's a lot of folks out there who don't have the knowledge and may be apprehensive about asking the question. And it's just getting everyone to come to the table for what could be an uncomfortable situation, but certainly not a permanent one. So the biggest reward that gets me going every single day is to be involved in the process of someone's financial world in terms of getting them from A to B and seeing them arrive at their goals. I love that piece of it. And basically, that really is a testament to becoming a trusted advisor for the clients who you serve. So that's what gets me going every single day.
Awesome. All right, ladies, we are almost out of time, and I have been very fortunate to have some extremely successful women on this show over the years, and our last segment is always our chic tip. So I'd like to have from each one of you one really great key to success that you would offer to other professional business women out there, and we can start with Candy. What's your chic tip?
I'm not sure how chic this is, but I always ask myself, how would your mother respond? So responding to your tone, to your email, how you follow up is something that I always try to practice or take a moment to breathe before you act.
That's a good one.
So
how would your mother respond?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
my mother still reminds me she is my mother. and so I do want to make sure that I treat individuals fairly and treat them how I would like to be treated as well.
Well, having a sense of professionalism and integrity is so important, especially in your industry, but in all businesses.
Yes.
So excellent tip. Lindsay, what's your chic tip for us?
My chic tip is save as draft. I think in this day and age, everyone is communicating online. It's email, it's blogs, it's texting, it's instant messenger. Maybe 10% of the work that I do on day in and day out is over the phone. And, you know, I think 90% of our miscommunication issues come from the fact that we are sending everything via email. And you really can't underestimate how someone else is going to interpret something mm-hmm. that you've written when they don't hear your tone or don't hear your voice. So it's a little bit cheeky for the chic tip, but save as draft goes to say, make sure that you have reread, considered, to capitalize on Candy's comment, what would your mother think, that you really are communicating in a way that can't be misinterpreted.
That's an excellent piece of advice. Thank you. Natalie, how about a chic tip?
Okay, my tip is a saying that one of the elders in my life, one of my elder grandmas, by friendship, used to say, and it's tomorrow is going to be busy all by itself. And that was her way of keeping people from procrastinating or letting things pile up. And I just think that that's something that we all could really live by and I think really enjoy our lives a little bit fuller.
That's a great piece of advice because, yes, it is all too easy to put that to do on tomorrow's list. But getting it done today, wonderful piece of advice. And finally, Nicole White, chic tip for us.
Well, I would say my chic tip is to keep integrity around absolutely everything that you do. You must sleep at night. And if you find yourself unable to sleep at night, then you're doing something wrong or you're in a situation that doesn't fit you. So it's very, very simple. We're in desperate times. We're coming out of desperate times, but people are finding themselves stressed in situations relative to their job situation, their family situations, and just the global economy at large. And it's very easy to give into a competitive mode or what is impressed upon you, but you really do have to keep a sound sense of integrity around you during trying times because it'll always win.
Great. Very well said. Well, ladies, it's been an absolute pleasure. And our listeners know that my philosophy on business is heel to heel, we rise. And by bringing women together to talk business and have these kinds of conversations, we open up the door for more opportunity for us all. So thank you again all for being here for this great conversation.
Thank you.
We wish
you
all the best. This is Elizabeth Gordon signing off from the Heel to Heel show. Thanks so much for tuning in. Catch us next week where we'll have another great session of Women Talking Business. I'll talk to you then. Bye.
Feel the deal.